Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today we have our lovely guest, Jill. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to hear what's going on and where you're at. And so tell me a little bit, how did it all start?
It started when I was 24 and didn't know it. I started having gastrointestinal issues. So I ended up with a colonoscopy at the age of 24.
Wow.
Yeah. The day after Mother's Day. And my mom had to come stay with me in my one bedroom, one bathroom apartment and take me to my appointment. So she's a godsend. She helped me through a lot of things. But, you know, I had the colonoscopy and they just said, you have a spastic colon and here's a pill that is now recalled and follow this diet that didn't really work. And then I had like anxiety and depression off and on, like everything would kind of just go in different waves. And it took moving across country, actually, to get a formal diagnosis. When we moved from California to Pennsylvania, my family, we knew it wasn't just for my husband's job. So I started having IBS type issues again, and I thought it was just from the stress of the move and my brother-in-law passing from cystic fibrosis. And my PCP, because I was so new here, he said, you need to find a functional doctor. And I clearly did not know where to go being, I don't know, a year into living in Pennsylvania. I'm not a native or anything to anything around here still, but I found a functional doctor and he's like, oh yeah, you have IBS. Let's treat that. And then we actually put that symptom into remission through supplements. I got off of, I think it was Linzess that I was taking at that time. And so about 2 years later, I started having like neuropathy and what else? I had panic attacks. I had dizziness. And I went back to my PCP and they said, oh, you just have anxiety. Here's some Zoloft.
Here's a pill.
Right. Oh, the pills just never ended. And I ended up going back again. And she's like, the doctor's like, oh, well, here's another pill. Here's Xanax XR. And she's like, are you sure there isn't any stress in your life? I'm like, no, there's not. And so I contacted my functional doctor because I wasn't really getting anywhere. And he's like, I bet you have mold. I didn't know anything about mold toxicity at that point in my life. And he ran some blood work and discovered that I had mold toxicity. So he put me through treatment with supplements and we had to have our home treated. It took about 9 months to get back to normal. So I was finally healthy because I had lost a lot of weight from being sick with mold and doing things again with my family. And then about 5 or 6 months later, I started having like the panic attacks, anxiety, the neuropathy and other symptoms again. And I contacted my functional doctor and said, is this my new normal? He's like, nope. And in the meantime, he had tested my HLA genes just for an in-case situation because my aunt actually went undiagnosed with Lyme disease for 20 years and passed of complications from it. It'll be 10 years this August. So when he found my Lyme, I was negative on the ELISA test and I had 5 bands on the Western blot. Plus 3 co-infections. So he started right away treating me. And it was a year and a half long process. There were a bunch of different phases because we would attack different situations. Like, we started out doing the biofilm buster so we could open up all the cysts and re-expose myself to Lyme, which was very challenging. It was probably one of the worst year and a half of my life. I literally wanted to die. It was because it just affected every part of my body. I could barely walk. I couldn't even cook. My mom came and lived with us off and on for a while to help us out because I have two kids too. So taking care of my family, you know, wasn't an option for me at the time. But I went through about a year and a half of treatment. So this July will mark 3 years of remission.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. It's been such a blessing. My functional doctor, his name is Dr. Shaw, and he has literally saved my life a handful of times when the medical community let me down. I know that the medical community does have a place for things, but at the same time, finding the root cause of certain things is truly
specialty.
Yeah, yeah. And I've actually been able to point friends in the direction due to their health issues to him. And some of them have been mold and some of them have been Lyme. And, you know, you never want to project what you've gone through onto other people. But when you recognize things, it's hard to not just make suggestions, I guess.
Right. And that's, it's hard to do, but also I think we need to do it, you know?
Yes.
And I think that it's based on their random symptoms and
right.
all the tests they've gone through and, oh, you're just depressed or, you know, you're exhausted, you have kids, like all these answers, all of this always seems to just kind of circle back around, and Lyme just makes sense with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So you were 24 when you had your first colonoscopy.
Correct.
And then from the time that they figured out it was Lyme, how old were you then?
It was about 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
16 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. Yeah.
A long time.
Do you remember any kind of tick bite or anything? No.
No. No, I never had the bullseye. And I wasn't like an avid outdoors person. So the only thing that I can think of is when I lived in Los Angeles for 9 months only, I used to go to the beach and doing a lot of reading. You know, I find that ticks can hide in the grass along the beach, around the parks and stuff. And that's probably around the time I started getting sick, but not really thinking I had an issue.
And that's when that was prior to being 24 then, or when?
Yeah. Yeah. About 23. Yeah. 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, I mean, as you were telling your story, so you're the year and a half was the worst year and a half in your life. And you still stuck with it. Why?
My family. I was very blessed to have a very supportive family. My husband would do anything to help me get through the hard times. Same with my mom. My kids were a little bit younger then when I went through that treatment. So it was hard for them to understand, but they were always like, yay, mom's downstairs watching a movie, or let's walk down the street and walk back. I mean, it wasn't even like a quarter mile, but I had such support. And then I also found a health coach that helped me, and she was also a mold and Lyme warrior. So knowing that I could, that people can get to the other side, it was helpful, but I definitely had days I wanted to give up. And I had a lot of fear because, you know, my aunt passed from complications of it. Everything that she went through makes sense now based on what I've been exposed to and gone through. I wish that she was able to find the healing that I was able to get through.
And tell me a little bit about that. When you say that she passed from complications, what does that mean? What happened?
She was undiagnosed for 20 years. She had everything from, they thought it was a mercury filling, so she had all of her teeth removed, and then they drilled into her gums to remove all the mercury. So she had no teeth. She was less than 90 pounds when she passed. She used to be like a bodybuilder. She was very athletic when I was a kid. I just remember like so many little things now. When we would go visit her, because she had to live with my grandfather at the end, she would say, don't wear perfume, don't wear anything smelly, wash your clothes with non-smelling detergent. And she just had like massive pills piled on her kitchen counter. She believed she had Lyme disease because she was following Dr. Horowitz back then. And this really wasn't a big internet phase, and she couldn't be around the internet a whole lot because of the waves that would come off the computer for her. But she was so sick and never got a diagnosis, like a formal diagnosis with a formal treatment plan. She just kind of withered away.
Wow. I'm sure you probably weren't expecting to talk about that, but I'm so proud of you for being her voice too. Because by you sharing and, you know, taking us along your journey with you, it's truly helping all of those listeners out there to go through it. And you know, I wanted to give up many times during my journey.
Yeah.
And I could imagine how much scarier it was for you knowing that your aunt was going through what you're going through and she didn't make it.
Yeah.
Like that would have been so hard.
It triggered a lot between the gaslighting from the doctors and knowing that story. That was like my really only story to base things off of for Lyme. I didn't know anybody. Well, my functional doctor, he is a Lyme warrior as well. But, you know, having my aunt so close to me and just knowing what I watched her go through all these years and then finally actually understanding and realizing what was going on, it was hard. And it was hard for my dad, who was her sister. They were siblings. But, you know, my dad wanted to make sure that I got well, too. So he did whatever he could to help me heal, too. So
I'm sure they must have been, I mean, knowing the outcome of his sister, I'm sure he, I mean, knew the severity and the, you know, the danger of what you're dealing with. And obviously that is the last thing to see your daughter go through, you know, and have that kind of an end. So I can understand the urgency, you know, from your parents.
Yeah. They were great through the whole thing. I mean, I know it wasn't easy for them to see me want to give up and cry in pain and not be able to do the things that I used to do. I mean, I was very active with my kids. And then, you know, not being able to take my son to his hockey game or take my daughter to gymnastics or go to school events. It did a number on me mentally as well as physically. So
it absolutely does. I think that Lyme is just as much emotional as it is physical. It really is. And I think that once you beat the Lyme, I still think you have a lot of emotional work to do to, you know, we're not that same person we are. Yeah. It doesn't mean we're better or worse. We're just different.
Yeah.
And it's hard to kind of acknowledge that and find the new you and then fall in love all over again with the new you. So it's really a journey.
It is. Yeah. And it takes its toll on the people you live with too. Like my kids have seen things that kids their age haven't needed to see really, or experience. And they're the kindest children I could ask for. Like they always make sure I'm doing okay. And they'll get me food when I'm not feeling well, you know, or they'll help around the house. Like it's just not a second thought for them to be supportive or helpful.
Well, I love that. Yeah. They'll make great spouses.
Yes, they will. You just hope they don't have to go through this on their end. So,
yeah, for sure. We definitely don't want them to have to experience that in their any time in their lifetime, for yeah. sure.
Yeah.
And how, I'm sure you kind of talk to them and talk to your spouse in regards to, you know, how they felt and their, you know, how they experienced all of this. I mean, do you mind sharing mm-hmm. a little bit from their viewpoint of what they've expressed?
Yeah, my husband for sure always mentions that the caregiver is never forewarned what to expect. Like me as the patient, I'm told, okay, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But he was not told really how bad that worse is going to be and what it could potentially look like. Like him having to take me to the emergency room because my arm and leg are going numb, and not knowing that neuropathy is part of everything, but I think something's happening to my body. And he's having to like drag me into the hospital to get me in a wheelchair or help me take an Epsom salt bath, like help me in and out because I'm not physically strong enough to get my body in and out of the bathtub. It was really, really hard on him. He was amazing through it. We both struggled with our faith because why, you know? Yeah. And that's something we both have struggled with off and on over the years with other health things too. But he took his vows very seriously. And I'm truly grateful for that because I couldn't imagine what a lot of people go through when their spouses leave them because they just can't handle it. Because it is that hard. Like you don't want to see your loved ones suffer. I don't care if it's your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents. Like you don't want to see that. And having to deal with that. And when you go through it and you can't explain what's actually going on and causing it, it takes a really strong person to help you get through that.
And I would imagine just like, I mean, for you, I mean, it's that hopelessness because the next day feels the same as the day prior mm-hmm. and you're just kind of stuck in this downward spiral. And
yeah.
And I would assume that it is hard then the same for the caretaker. They're just seeing, is this going to be the rest of our lives? Is this what it's going to look like, you know, when we're 70?
Yeah. And that's something that goes through my mind often. I mean, I know I'm in remission, but I'm also aware that flares happen. Like I found a tick on me on Mother's Day. I don't think it was attached. I don't 100% know. And if it was, it was not for very long, but we took it off. We sent it in for testing. My functional doctor is aware, you know, of everything. So if I start to not feel well, we have a go-to diagnosis, you know. And it's scary to think that it can happen at any time. But, you know, sometimes you get out of your comfort zone and you're like, okay, every day I can do something different. And then when you have your bad days, you're like, oh, it's another bad day. And it's just so much up and down and just finding, like having the support of anyone that will just even listen and just hold your hand or let you cry. I even had, when it first started, I had a neighbor come over and pray with me because I was in so much pain and I didn't know what to do. And she just let me cry. And it was so amazing that she did that. And, we still didn't know how things were going to be moving forward at that point. Just having people like that in your life is so important. I mean, even when you're not sick, but not being afraid to ask for the help is an important thing to do. It's hard to ask for help, but when you need somebody like that, it's okay to ask.
It definitely is okay to ask. And that is a very, especially for somebody who maybe isn't used to asking for help just in their general life, you know, and then you get sick and you're trying to explain to somebody, well, yesterday I felt good and I could do that, but today I can't do anything. Like it's very, I was very shameful of mm-hmm. of what I couldn't do anymore. And I mean, I would rather drive my car to the store, ride around in a scooter just to go pick up something I needed from the grocery store rather than ask somebody to help me. Yeah. Then I really couldn't move for days, but yes. I'd rather do it on my own, yep. you know, and suffer like that, which hindsight, it was ridiculous.
Yes, it was.
but it is hard. And, you know, it's we don't know. It's like, you know, when people get pregnant and have a kid, like there's no tutorial on how to raise your child, you know, there's no tutorial on how to go through Lyme disease, whether you're the patient or the caregiver. There's not. And there's not, you know, there's so many different stories and different versions of all of it. And it all sucks. But yeah, asking for help is hard.
It is hard. Yeah.
And I think, I mean, like you mentioned, raising a child. I mean, I haven't experienced it. I'm Lyme. I know patients and I work with patients. But I mean, that handbook, yes, you would love to have it. But like, I mean, every story is so different. Every day is so different. Yeah. Everything is just so different from what I hear and what I see. So I don't know how. I mean, it'd be cool to have that book, but I don't know how to write it.
Yeah. It would be never ending.
Yeah, it would be never ending.
Yeah, there wouldn't be an end. Yeah.
That's where you pick the next chapter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm still going back to that year and a half, you know.
Yeah.
How did you, because I mean, when you feel worse, you start treatment, you feel worse, then you start thinking, well, this is not working. I'm not feeling any better. You know, this is wrong. I need to do something else. You know, so again, why? I mean, I know you had the support, but even the support must kind of question, is this the right thing to do? Or should we do something else? Yeah, why did you stick to it for a year and a half?
I wanted to be there for my family, my husband and my kids.
Yeah, but how did you know that this treatment was going to get you there?
I trusted my doctor, my functional doctor. I just, because he got me through the mold issue, which I didn't think I could get out of based on my symptoms. I knew I could trust him. Doesn't mean that I believed him every time he said, do this or do that, but, you know, I trusted him wholly, in knowing that he's been through it and he's on the other side helped me too. It was never easy. It was a challenge every day. And I would go to bed wondering if I would wake up the next morning just because I didn't feel well, not because I thought I was going to do anything to myself, but it's just a thought, like, when you have air hunger or you have like heart palpitations, you don't know. But I didn't want to go down not trying and trying because I wanted to be there for my family.
Right. And that's our biggest why. So tell me, like Dr. K just said, you know, what kept you on that path? So I know that we have a lot of listeners that struggle with going outside of the routine antibiotic route.
Mm-hmm.
I never took a single antibiotic for my Lyme.
I didn't.
I had a consultation with a doctor to do that. Mm-hmm. And the more I got to thinking about it, I thought, you know, for 7 years, this Western medicine type of doctor, you know, was just going to let me die.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could trust them to get better. And then my other thought was, I didn't think my body was strong enough to be able to handle the antibiotics. I thought they were going to kill me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So how did you, I mean, because I'm assuming you grew up like I did. You know, you tell your mom you're sick. She takes you to the doctor. You do what the doctor says. You go home, you get better. You know, and that's you know, how we're brainwashed when we're kids. You know, that's just what you do. And so it was really hard for me to think outside the box and do all these crazy things that I would normally never do. And then to not see rapid improvement right away. Like, it has to be hard to stay on that track. But like you said, your doctor had Lyme and he beat it. So that probably was a huge thing in his corner for you anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were days I would cry to my mom when she was staying with us that I was done. And she'd be like, well, what are your other options? And I would just look at her and she's like, no, Jill. And I'm like, this is so hard. Like, I can't. It's so hard to keep fighting some days. So I just, you know, on those days I would grieve and just do my best to try again the next day. I mean, sometimes the next day was better, sometimes it wasn't. And I would just follow everything that my functional doctor would tell me to do, because I knew that he would help me even if something wasn't working right. Like I reacted to cat's claw. I don't know why, but it would make him feel like my eyeballs were being squeezed, which was such a weird thing. So I couldn't tolerate it. So he would point me in another direction. And because he wasn't like, no, you have to take this, you know, it helped me to be confident with him that he's not going to make me suffer more than I absolutely have to get through the treatment.
Right. And it sounds like he believed you, what you said, like, okay, yeah, I'm having this reaction, this isn't going to work. And I think that's so important when you're searching for any kind of a doctor, is that you really just resonate with them and that you feel that they truly are listening to you and have your best interest at heart.
Yeah. Every appointment with him, I think, was at least 30 to 45 minutes. And like, it was me and him.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And my husband would be there most of the time, especially when I couldn't remember things. But it was just all about what was going on and listening and brainstorming on what to do next or what to do differently. And, you know, he's.
And what did he say? I mean, as he was encouraging you through this time, I mean, what was his, I'm sure you reached out and say, I feel horrible today. I mean, what did he say to encourage you and drive you forward?
You know, a number of times he actually said he was praying for me. And that meant a lot, especially when I felt like I was losing my faith. And he never doubted my feelings or my experiences. And he always just said, you know, keep moving. He's like, we'll get through this. And he never gave up on me, even when things would go sideways. He never gave up on me. So that was truly one of the big blessings I got out of that. I mean, I'm still working with him today, healing from other things that have been happening. I got long haul COVID. So I've had COVID twice now. So, but he, you know, he walks with me through whatever I need support with. And he's just been amazing about it. Instead of just throwing drugs at me and trying to see what sticks and what doesn't. Like this past year, I was on Percocet for I don't know how many months, twice a day, as well as muscle relaxers and a bunch of other things. That took its toll on me, and coming off of them was a nightmare. So, you know, he helped walk me through things, and now we're working on healing my gut and getting things back in order. And it's just, I just can't wait to get back to where I was before. So,
right. I can't imagine you've had COVID twice and then long haul with that. Yeah. I got COVID the beginning of May last year. And, okay. It was horrible. And of course, I thought I was going to die. I actually felt like a man, you know, because they get a cold and they're like, I'm dying. But I seriously thought I was going to die. And I thought I was so petrified of my Lyme flaring.
Right. I was too.
And I think that's just part of our PTSD from being sick.
Yep.
But I got past it, and I didn't. The only lingering thing was, you know, fatigue for a few extra weeks. But And even that fatigue doesn't have anything on Lyme fatigue. Like, no, it doesn't even compare.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but that fear is real. Like, when you get sick, like, you know, I finally started working a couple of years ago, and there was mold in the building, and I reacted day one, and everyone's like, oh, we'll get it fixed. And then they told me I was lying, even though we had the building tested. So I had to quit, but I had to go through mold treatment again, you know, not as intense because it wasn't as long as before. But my fear was Lyme coming back again. And I'm just like, I can't go through this again. It's so hard and too hard on all of us. So, yeah.
And those people that you worked with, you know, like, okay, big deal. We've been working in the building for years. You know, you come in and, you know, and they try to shame us for being a hypochondriac, or, you know, they don't get it.
No.
They just don't get it.
No. No, it was very unfortunate because I could see symptoms in some of the other people.
That they couldn't, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the people that did feel the effects were not strong enough to stand up for it. So it was very unfortunate, but I had to get out of there. I couldn't keep exposing myself because, like, I was getting the hives and a little dizzy, and I was getting some pain in my shoulders and just little symptoms, but they were still big enough that they were affecting me.
Right. And we're smart enough now that we've gone through that Lyme journey that we really pay attention to those small things. You know, they mm-hmm. might not be anything, and mm-hmm. let's hope that they're not.
Yes.
I'd rather be proactive than reactive. You know,
Absolutely. Whenever
I go to see Dr. K, you know, every few months or so, I'm like, please just check my Lyme and tell me it's okay. I know it's okay, but I need to hear it from his mouth that he does not detect Lyme in my body. Like, yeah. There's just something about that. So it's not just me, Dr. K, that gets really excited. This is check me, you know. Exactly. It's how we all feel.
Yes. Yeah, there's just a low level of paranoia that we carry day to day. Just the reassurance is helpful.
And how did your functional medicine doctor monitor your progress and what needed to be done next? Was it just mm-hmm. kind of going through it systematically, or was there a way for him to monitor?
So mainly it would be symptomatic, just based on my symptoms. Sometimes we'd have to extend a phase of treatment because I wasn't where he would think I would be at that point. But we would do blood work and we would meet regularly. So he would always know. I mean, I didn't hide anything about how I felt. I wasn't trying to make anything better than it really was. So he always knew what was going on. And I could email him if I had any questions. And he was very responsive. And yeah, it was that was kind of how things went for all that. There was no, like, at 6 weeks you do this, at 8 weeks you did this. It was, okay, how are you after 6 weeks? And certain points we would have to do blood work to see where certain levels, like even inflammation levels, were at. But he was always very proactive with me. And then when we discovered that I had parasites, it was simply just based off of me reacting to the moon. And I had no idea that the moon could ever see you. And he put me on the parasite treatment, and 3 months later, I don't react to the moon anymore and haven't, you know? So
isn't that crazy?
Oh,
I used to be able to tell people when there's a full moon, when there's a new moon, and they're like, mm-hmm. are you like one of those people that are all into this, you know, astrology? I'm like, no, I don't know anything about that. He said, it's all about mm-hmm. how my body is.
Yeah.
And it's been a few years now, and I absolutely cannot tell you when there's a new moon going on, a full moon. And it's kind of a really cool feeling, you know. I see people on the Facebook groups and they talk about, you know, get ready to do your parasite cleanse because a full moon is coming. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just don't even feel it anymore. Just the simple things like that are just so exciting to us. And I think it'll be exciting to me 20 years from now that I can't tell you when there's a full moon. So it is crazy to think that.
Yeah.
So what did the program look like? I mean, if you would explain the program to somebody that has no clue of what's, you know, how would you explain it or what you did?
Well, it was all supplement based. The first phase I do remember was the biofilm buster. That was really hard. Cause it was re-exposing the Lyme spirochetes to my body again. But there's the nice thing about going through a functional medicine doctor is they're going to always give you a form of inflammation support and liver support, because the saying goes, if it goes in, it's got to come out. If you don't pass it in a bowel movement, it'll try to come out of your skin. I would get hives all over my face and my chest. It was nasty. And the first time it happened, I had no idea what was going on. So going through the natural supplement type of treatment, I think it's just so much easier on your liver and your GI, assuming that you have the right support for the supplements too, because you don't want things sticking inside on its way out. So it was all, you know, different phases. I did see here, like I did transfer factor. I had collagen for support and magnesium. I always had like vitamin C and Quercetrix and fish oil, probiotic. I took astragalus, resveratrol. And I know there were a bunch more because I was probably taking 40 pills a day at the peak of treatment. I always called it my dessert because, you know, after dinner, I have to save room for all my pills.
I know. It's like a meal, right? Yes. Having to drink all that water to get them down. Like, I'm not even hungry. I'm so full of water and pills.
And if always having a bottle of water, I mean, I still carry around a bottle of water. People think I'm goofy because I always have water with me, but I always drink water all day long because I just know that keeping, you know, my digestive tract moving and staying hydrated keeps my risks a little bit lower too. And just staying on top of keeping everything going, you know, I'm always drinking water. And so I always feel like I'm full, but then I'm hungry sometimes. And I'm like, what happened? I haven't had my water today. I think going through the supplement treatment, whatever is specific to each individual, because everyone's going to have a different mismatch of co-infections if they have them on top of Lyme, and they have like mast cell activation, or you'll have a histamine reaction, or even if you have mold, you got to take care of that first. I mean, it's just so many different layers. The supplement just seems to be so much easier on your body. Like, there's less side effects or reactions. Because even now, when I look back, I have not tolerated antibiotics well for years, and I didn't know why. Like, I would get one sulfate antibiotic in my body, and my IBS would flare up for days. And that was just on one pill. And now I know it's because of the Lyme that I had contracted and didn't know. Yeah, I've been a big supporter of supplements. Even my kids, they've had some health issues off and on over the years. We go the functional medicine route.
I love it.
If it's not a clear infection, then yeah, we're doing that. And it's benefited them. So I don't want them to have to go through what I went through.
No. I mean, it's better to kind of support. Told a number of patients, it's easier to kind of stop a little stream than a huge river, you know. And so you want to catch it when when you don't need a lot of force to address it.
Absolutely.
So with a protocol that you just mentioned, I mean, there's some immune system modulation there. There's some anti-inflammatory, some antioxidant. There's some kind of immune system intelligence support. But, you know, for like biofilm busters, you know, what did you use there? And
I think that was Biocidin, the drops.
The Biocidin? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was, I mean, this was a long time ago. So there's parts of my Lyme treatment phase, I guess, period. I just don't remember everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't blame you. I like to block it out too.
I think it's a blessing sometimes, but then people ask me questions like this and I'm like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, there's so much going on the whole time, and then start this and then stop that and then let's do this instead. And so it's hard to kind of remember all those things. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
Well, in between mold treatment and Lyme treatment, some of the supplements overlap too. So it's just, it's hard to remember every single thing I've been on. I've probably taken most supplements by now.
Tried it at least once. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we've also discovered, my body doesn't produce enough glutathione. So that's one of my maintenance pills that I take when I'm healthy. It hasn't been for a while, but, you know, it's one of those things like vitamin C and fish oil that I just kind of take regularly because it's just a maintenance and keep everything at bay the best that I can. So, you know, I've taken, what else did I take? I took Andrographis for mold, I believe, but I took garlic too. And man, I can't even remember. I've taken so many different supplements.
Right. I love to talk about detoxing. It's just one of my favorite topics because I think it's so important. But what types of things did you do to detox your body?
I mainly did Epsom salt baths because that's about all I could physically do at the time. I did dry brushing a little bit, or I'd sit out in the sun. But getting anywhere to do anything was really hard for me to do. And, you know, drinking tons of water.
Right.
But, I wasn't physically able to do a whole lot back then. And that was pre-COVID. So my husband wasn't working at home either. So didn't have the convenience of my chauffeur.
Right.
Well, this has been awesome. Yeah, this has been really great. Thank you so much. I mean,
thank you.
This is so important for people really to kind of feel the realness of the journey and what it really entails, you know, so that they don't feel alone. And when they're experiencing these things, they recognize that even though it's not normal, it is normal.
You know? Yeah. So they're not alone in this.
Yeah. So thank
they're
you.
They're certainly not alone. And I love how we talked a little bit about your doctor and hopefully it's good for people to hear that, you know, whoever you're working with might not be your best fit. If you're not feeling heard, if you don't feel that they're trying to change things up to work for you and your body, maybe it's time to search for somebody else because it's so important to have a good relationship with your practitioner. No matter what they are, you know, functional doctor, naturopath, it doesn't matter. But you need to work with somebody that is on your side and is going to believe you and work with you however your body's reacting because there's nothing easy or straightforward about Lyme. There just isn't.
No, so, not at all.
Yeah, it's a good reminder for people to really have a good working relationship with their practitioner. So.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you're on this other side. I'm sorry about your COVID, but I know you've got this too.
Yes.
If you can beat Lyme, you can beat COVID. Come on now, right?
Me and my functional doctor even said that to me. So
I'm telling you that us Lyme warriors, we are the strongest of the strong. And I'll argue that to my death. We just are. Yeah. You don't know what it is until you go through it. It's truly a living nightmare. So
it is.
I know you can beat this. You got it. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you too. All
right. Good night. Okay.
Good night.
Goodbye.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.